one thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh, well,
you know, I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. This is Ken. Just wanted to let you know that the audio you are about to listen to was recorded with my phone. FIFO and I were at the studio, and we just started talking about the Kawhi Leonard the Paul George trade and Kawhi Leonard signing with the Clippers. And I figured the conversation would be good, as they tend to be when we have our discussions about basketball. So I wanted to release it for you guys. Also, we are aware and have been discussing the CP3 Russell Westbrook trade that just took place tonight at the time of this recording. And we are making plans to get together Sunday to record our reaction to the trade that went down. So that is a bit of a programming update for you. But Rick just wanted to drop in, like I said, and just let you know that this is not the clean, pure audio that you're accustomed to, but it's a pretty good conversation. And that's it. And kind of towards the end, you'll hear as clients start to come in, and I had a session that night, you'll start to hear people come into the studio. So things get a little bit more difficult to listen to. So and at that point, we were getting ready to wrap up, but just wanted to let you guys know about that. So enjoy the conversation, and we will get the thoughts and opinions of B and Mr. Disrespect, soon. And we'll get that out for you guys. Until next time, I'm out. Peace.
A little bit, because there was rumors they were trying to get him to go to Miami. I think Miami tried to get him.
DeMarcus?
Yeah. It wasn't Miami, but they convinced him to come there instead. And I forgot about the AD connection that I thought about. I was like, oh, I could see that, because they play so well together, and he's still trying to get himself back right. So, I thought they were going to get him regardless. So,
yeah, Kawhi pulled a fast one, bro. Kawhi, man, that shit was crazy.
Yeah, he did, and man, I didn't see it coming. Like, I think that if they didn't get Paul George, I think he probably would have went to the Lakers.
I agree. Because here's the thing. And then I was surprised that Masai rejected the trade of PG and Russ to Toronto.
Yeah.
Like, because at the end, I take Russ over Kyle Lowry any day. That's number one. Number two, you're getting Russ and PG and Kawhi, right? Because, like, on a long-term deal. Because I would have given Kawhi the max. I would have given him 5-year max. So yeah, I don't know. But at the same time, shit, you got a whole bunch of money coming off the books next year. There isn't a lot of free agents. I don't know if they have their own draft pick in terms of Toronto. So I don't know what Masai's plans are. But if you're gonna trust any brother, it's gonna be him.
Yeah, you will. I don't think any of the leaks that they put on Magic Johnson hurt their chances. Mm-mm. Not the way they said it was. I think he really was waiting to see if they were going to pull off the trade for Paul George. And, and they did. Because I think that was the thing that shocked a lot of people. When you look at the deal, you'd be like, Paul George, who just signed a 4-year deal, all of a sudden going there, and then it all made sense. That's why it took so damn long. Mm-hmm.
And then did you also hear what Chris Broussard was saying in terms of Kawhi finding his voice? Like, Kawhi was mad at the media saying, oh, yeah, Thursday he's going to, around 6 o'clock, he's going to give his announcement. And he was like, on purpose, he was like, nope. He said, Friday, nope, I ain't doing it. So he just did everything, like, on his own time.
Okay.
And then did you hear Skip's position? He was like, oh, Kawhi's fucking up the process. You know, he needs to let the Lakers know and all of these teams know where he's going to go as quickly as possible. Nah, bruh. I got how much time to sign? Nah.
Right.
I can use all of this time if I want to. Now, if that fucks up another organization, that's on you. Go ahead and make the moves. Don't wait on me to.
Exactly. The organizations made their moves and signed their players. Mm-hmm. But it was the organizations that didn't have a shot at him. So it made sense for them to go ahead and make moves. And probably the players that were out on free agency, they didn't have a chance of getting or they didn't even want. Mm-hmm. So, no, I like that he went against the grain. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these guys had already made up their mind. They knew where they were going. But Kawhi was like, no, I'm going to take my time and I'm going to just chill. And, you know, the media is throwing stuff out there. So I'm going to pull pull a fast one on them and not announce when they think I'm announced. It's like they wrestled control back from the media in terms of their announcement because so many things, you know, started leaking. Or people were just making shit up. Because Jalen Rose, like, how did he get that? Somebody set him up.
What happened?
He said that he was 99% sure that Kawhi was going back to Toronto on a 2-year deal. He went on record, on Get Up, and said that. 99% sure. So I'm pretty sure he saw that. That may have pissed him off based on what you're telling me. Mm-hmm. So maybe that ruined the Raptors' chance. So maybe he was. And he was like, nah, I'm not going there. Mm-hmm. You just never know, man. But
You don't. And you know what? At the end of the day, I think this was the best move for the NBA. For Lakers and LeBron and AD's legacy, Kawhi's legacy, obviously going to the Lakers would have did more for the league. Obviously, this would have been the only big three in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about you're talking about three out of the top five. You know, you just give the Lakers the championship at that point. You know what I'm saying? But I think by him going to the Clippers, bringing Paul George with him, there's so much balance, so much parity in the NBA. There's literally like 10 teams that can win the next year. You don't know who it's going to be. Mm-hmm. I definitely think the Clippers are the favorite. And it's not because of
you think so.
The defense, bro. Like
Beverly, Leonard, George.
Just think about like how perimeter-centric the game is today. And those three guys switching on people?
I don't know, man. I don't know. A defense, you make a really, really strong argument, and defense wins championships. We know how the cliche go. Mm-hmm. But when I look at the rosters, mm-hmm. I take the Lakers roster, man.
I'm going to tell you this. So you heard this first, Ken. Montrezl Harrell is going to have a monster season. The man is hitting threes now.
Where? Summer League?
Nah, he don't play Summer League. He's a vet now. If you go on YouTube and just look up Rico Hines, R-I-C-O Hines, H-I-N-E-S, mm-hmm. It's a dude that runs open gym for very high-level college players, former NBA players, and current NBA stars. Remember a couple years ago when I told you that Blake had a jumper? He played at Rico Hines.
Okay.
Damn, who did I tell you last year? I told you last year somebody was going to have a big jump, and they did. But Montrezl Harrell is getting the invites to go play at these runs. And when I tell you he's consistently making three, the way the Clippers are structured just from a personnel standpoint, they're going to be a problem. Because obviously Beverly hits threes at a high clip. He's not a volume shooter, but, you know, obviously in rotation, when the ball gets in rotation or whatever, and somebody's going to be open, he's going to knock that down.
Yeah.
Obviously PG, Kawhi. You're talking about Montrezl Harrell now, too. And then remember, they still have Zubac, you know what I'm saying, which is a baller. Like, they have a lot. And the thing is that their defensive firepower, I think, is going to overwhelm a lot of teams. Now, here's the thing. With the Lakers, right, as good as Montrezl Harrell, can't nobody do nothing with AD. And I think that's what's going to be the difference in that matchup. However, and then I don't think that Beverly, Kawhi, or PG individually can do anything with Bron, but all three of them, you know what I'm saying? Just keep throwing bodies at him. That's a different. You're talking about the two best 6'7" and up wings And you know what I'm saying? Two out of the three, the third person is Klay. But you're talking about, like, offensive defense? I don't know, man. That's going to be tough, man. That's going to be tough.
It is, but when I went through, like, the now that the rosters are pretty much finalized mm-hmm. and LeBron's playing point now, all right, Patrick Beverly, like you out of here. Who's the two? Danny Green will probably pull. You know, of course, he's a spot-up shooter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he'll cancel somebody out, whoever's starting to. The three would be Kuzma?
I don't know what the starting lineup is going to be. I've seen where Kuz is in the starting, and I've seen him where he's not. To me, if you're going to ask Bron to play PG, right, I think that the lineup need to be Bron, Danny Green, Kuzma, AD, and Boogie. That's a big ad. You talking about the 76ers at that
point. All right, so who going to – so then if you go to center, Zubac against Boogie? Nah. Harrell against Boogie? Nah. AD, Paul George can't check him. Kawhi can't check him.
AD is the X factor because he's the one guy that the Clippers don't have an answer for.
Right. So, and I think LeBron playing the point gives him obviously the height advantage, even though Patrick Beverly wouldn't guard him. Mm-hmm. They'll probably put Kawhi or...
They'll put Beverly on Bradley or yeah, Green or something.
Yeah, but I still think it gives them some flexibility. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why they're playing him at point guard. I think they may just be fucking with people because this seems so random. Because you got Paul, I mean, Rondo. Mm-hmm. So I didn't see the need to play him at point unless you want to get Kuz in the lineup.
But I don't... First of all, I don't understand why they brought Rondo back. The man can't shoot. And it's not like he's going to be able to shoot.
Yeah. Well, because they didn't have Bradley at the time. They didn't have Bradley and...
No.
So I think I think it'll be good to have him. I like Rondo back on the team.
I like Rondo. I just don't know how great of a fit he is there. You know what I'm saying? At least, not from a starting perspective. Like, I would not start Rondo. Rondo's not a starter. He shouldn't be a starter.
I think he knows that. I think he because he didn't show out last year when they brought him off the bench. So I think he'll be okay with that.
We will see.
But, you know, I think Rondo is aware of where he is in his career. And he can play defense. So I think he'll be, you know, a good fit for them. And
okay, I'll put it to you like this. It's not even starting. Rondo still feels he should close. It don't matter where Rondo starts.
You think so? You think he thinks that?
Yeah. Last 5 minutes of the game, he feels he should be on the court. Yep.
Hmm. I don't know.
Because that was the problem at point guard between him and Lonzo. Because remember, Rondo got hurt. Lonzo started closing games, and Lonzo got hurt. But during that time, like, Rondo felt a certain type of way about not being on the floor.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But he can't feel that way about LeBron now.
It's LeBron.
But I could see if, depending on who they decide to keep on the court in the last 5 minutes, I think his defensive presence would be good out there to have him out there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, this LeBron at point guard, like to go back to your – well, I think it will allow him to rest. I think it puts him in a spot where he's most dangerous with the ball in his hand, coming up court, being able to make plays, attacking where he sees. He can attack, rebounding, pushing the ball on the break, and being less – he won't have to really focus on scoring as much, especially when you got AD and you got Kuzma and you got Boogie. So you can slow the ball down with Boogie when he plays himself back into shape. And then you got AD, so he can really be a facilitator. He can be Magic.
Agreed. I think that this is more of a playoff team than a regular season team. Just how they're constructed, right? Like, mm-hmm. we know that LeBron understands tempo, time to score, right?
Right.
I think outside of shit, maybe CP, but obviously CP's playing with James. Maybe Dame. You know, there's a few guys that can control tempo, but nobody can control tempo like LeBron does. And LeBron knows, like, whenever he has an advantage or whoever else has an advantage, and he can get the ball to them. Mm-hmm. So I think that in the playoffs, the size is that that's where you're going to see the difference. And I think that that's where it's going to be more advantageous for them. But I think in a regular season, some of the smaller, quicker teams can outrun them. But I think in the playoffs, when it does get slow and you got a lot of big bodies between AD, Boogie, and Bron at their positions, I think that they can go far. I think that the Western Conference Finals is going to be both LA teams, which is going to be crazy because there's literally no traveling. Like, everybody's going to be at home. But, you know, Portland got a lot better, man.
They did.
And then now they got Hassan, too. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you talking about Boogie, shit. Nigga, Hassan, baby, motherfucker, bro. Mm-hmm. And when you playing with dudes like CJ and Dame, bruh. You know what I'm saying? Like, as soon as he says one of them pick, what you going to do? You going to blitz Dame now? You can't blitz Dame now. Mm-hmm. You can't blitz Dame now. Now you got Kent Bazemore out there. You got Nazir Little out there. You know, so they upgraded. And then Ronnie Hood coming back. So now Ronnie is going to play a bigger role. I think he should be in the starting lineup. You know, so it's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting. I'm excited. Have you been watching Summer League at all?
No, I haven't caught any yet.
The Hawks got this guy. What the fuck is his name? Sorbet or I don't know what the fuck. He hit 6 threes the last game he played, bro. And when I'm talking about Steph Curry type three, not like the off the dribble. I'm just talking about in terms of range.
Range, okay.
Bro, he was like 6 out of 8, 6 out of 9 from three. I'm like, oh, man. I don't know if he's going to make the roster or not, but I like them. I like them. I think they can develop him. I haven't seen none of the rookies play. I've seen Zion. He was like 4 out of 5 or 4 out of 6 before he hurt himself.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep, all dunks.
Like, bro, look, man, he translates, bro. He gonna get them dunks in the NBA. And he gonna put a lot of motherfuckers on posters.
That was the first thing I noticed. I was like, oh, shit, he was made for the NBA.
Yep.
Like, because when he sealed, I think it was his first basket. When he sealed, got in the pass, turn around, gam.
Yep.
The steal that he got from Kevin Knox. Mm-hmm. Another one. I was like, oh, yeah, he's an NBA player all day. Yeah, like you said, translate. Like, I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he looked like he had been playing with them. His whole, yeah.
Like an NBA player.
Yep. Yep.
Knox has stepped up. Knox is ready to. Here's the thing about the New York Knicks fans. You didn't get a big-time free agent. That's fine. Look at the young roster they have. You got at point guard Dennis Smith. At the two, you can plug in who they just drafted. Who's the lefty? I can't think of his name. RJ. At the three, you got Kevin Knox. And at the five, you got Mitchell Robinson. And then you just got Julius Randle at your starting four. He's a 2010 guy. Dennis Smith, you know, he's mid-teens, 6, 7, 8 assists a game guy. You know, dumb athletic, top five in terms of athleticism per position. RJ, obviously number two pick. You know what I'm saying? He looks a lot like James Harden. Kevin Knox, from a shooting perspective, looks way more consistent. We'll see it over the course of 82 games. But the Knicks got a good young squad.
They do.
Give them a little time. Give them a little time.
And I don't know who this other dude is. I can't even say his name.
What team?
The Knicks. But some guy, he's a foreign. He's an international player. Iggs, big something. Mm-hmm. But you know, he's looked like the best player on the Knicks team so far. So he's looked good out there. So yeah, in terms of young talent, they got it. They just need to nurture it and, you know, and let it develop, you know, the 3 to 5, like you've been saying. And then go from there and see what you got. Trade whoever you need to trade. But, yeah, they're promising, man. I think they just – they put their put all their eggs in one basket and became disappointed when they didn't get KD or Kyrie.
But they're fine. They're good.
Yeah, because it's different than when they drafted Frank Nicolina.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And or what's the other guy they drafted? Who Ronaldo Balkman.
Yes.
Like exactly. you can tell like, okay, nah, they ain't it.
Mm-mm. Nah, but they got a legit look. Mitchell Robinson is a top five shot blocker in the NBA already second going into the second year. Mm-hmm. You know, Julius Randle is proven.
Yes.
What is this, his third or fourth year now?
Which is crazy because he was Magic didn't draft him, but he was another Laker pick mm-hmm. that can play mm-hmm. and that they just couldn't hold.
They knew that they couldn't pay him if they wanted to get Bron.
No, I know that, so, but it was just in terms of their ability to pick draft picks exactly. over the last couple. Yeah. They've actually been pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he got hurt and, you know, early on, it was hard to tell, but, you know, like you're all saying, 3 to 5. And once he got in that window, mm-hmm. that was it. So, yeah, he's going to be good there.
Yep. He fits the young core because you're talking about a power forward that can get the rock, push the ball, mm-hmm. make good decisions, finish. You know what I'm saying? So you got a guy like Dennis Smith that can hit threes, create, attack the basket with reckless abandon. Same thing with RJ. Same thing with Kevin Knox. And Mitchell Robinson's a finisher. You know, so it fits a nucleus. They have a nice nucleus. They just have to be patient with them being contenders. They'll get there. They just got to be patient with it. Bro, Taco looks like an NBA player.
He didn't get drafted, though, did he?
Nah, he went undrafted by the Celtics. But, man, there was this one player, I forgot the team they were playing against, tried to take a charge on Taco. Mm-hmm. He had to leave the game, bro. Taco was trailing, and whoever was handling the rock gave it to him. He took his 2 steps and went to go. Bro, he's so big that this was like, I want to say he was like a 2-guard, the person that was trying to take the charge, right? Taco just raised his leg like this. It was all up in dude. It was like all up in here. All up in here.
Wow.
And dude flew. Like, all right, so he was outside of the restricted area. He took the charge. He flew past the stanchion, bro.
Damn, that's crazy.
I was like, yo. It took a while for him to get up. He got up. He was on the sideline. He was like this and shit. He was like, nah, brother. He couldn't even stand up. Okay, he was like this. I'm like, damn, bro. Damn, bro. That, man, that's a big motherfucker, man.
And they have been talking about him, you know, being a draft pick. Mm-hmm. So.
Who else? Oh, Bruno. What's
Fernando?
Huh?
For the Hawks?
Yeah.
Fernando?
He made a move. I said, nigga, is that a center?
Yeah, man.
He got the ball in the perimeter. He did a pump fake, dribble, boom, crossover, pull up. I said, who is that?
They were talking about his potential, man. Like he could be a steal.
Yeah.
He could be a steal. Yeah, so that was another good pick by the by the Hawks.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man, he fits what they want to do, bro. And then who the hell were they talking to? Who was I listening to? You know, somebody from the Hawks organization, and they were talking about how they want to play positionless basketball, and DeAndre Hunter only worked out for the Hawks. Like that was the only team he wanted to play for. And the Hawks was like, yo,
He
wanted to play for the Hawks. DeAndre Hunter and the Hawks were like, it's too good of a fit. And also that the Hawks knew that they needed to get a wing defender if they knew that they wanted to compete for championships down the road. And originally, obviously before this GM came in, that slot was Taurean Prince. But obviously he's been, you know what, a year and a half under the regime. And it was like, he's not it. So let him go, move up in the draft to go get the guy. And then they said that they always liked Cam Reddish. They didn't think he was going to be there at number 10, but when he fell to them, bro, I'm telling you, man, watch. The Hawks are they're going to be once all of the pieces figure, because obviously John Collins done figured it out. Trae Young has already done figured it out. Once DeAndre Hunter, Cam, and their big man Bruno, once they figure that shit out, I don't know who's drafted more firepower than them. Like, that's a lot of firepower.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a...
With Huter? Like I said, he's disposable. I don't see him...
At this point, yeah. Yeah. They can get rid of him. You know, I like him, but...
Yeah, he might be there just maybe one more year as a transitional period for DeAndre and Cam and him, but After that, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. But no, I'm so excited, man. So excited. Let me see what other rookies. Obviously, Bol Bol hasn't played. They're holding him out of summer league. Which I'm interested to see what he looks like against bigger competition.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is young? I haven't seen Darius Garland play. I haven't seen him.
Are they? Because I know some of them aren't playing yet.
Because some of them haven't signed their rookie contracts.
Okay.
Like Tyler Hero just signed his rookie contract today, which the timing of it is very interesting because when you sign your rookie deal, you can't be traded for another 30 days.
Right.
So that means by him signing today, more than likely he's not going to be part of that rest deal. Miami wants to keep him.
I like him.
I like him.
I like him.
I like him too. I don't know what his ceiling is. I got to see more of him to kind of understand what's he going to, is he going to be, who's the white boy that played for Philly? Now he's in Indiana. Point guard, McConnell.
Not TJ McConnell.
Yeah, TJ McConnell. Is he just a TJ McConnell? Is he Dragic? What is he? I don't know where is he Deli? What is Tyler?
I see what you're saying, but he definitely looks like he has more game than
he has more offensive game than TJ and Deli. I'm just saying, I feel like that's his floor, but what's his ceiling?
Yeah,
is it beyond Dragic or is it right at Dragic? You said I don't know how good he can be, but I definitely think he could play. I definitely think he could play. This whole Russell Westbrook thing, man, this is crazy.
I know. And I'm glad they just didn't take that shit. As soon as they got rid of Paul George, they were like, hey, man, get me out of here because y'all tripping. I don't even want to be here. I committed to you guys. You guys committed to me. And just like that, you trade away Paul George. Mm-hmm. I thought we were trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I like the fact that they were like, I don't want to be part of this
rebuild.
Yeah.
It ain't cost too much money to be part of the rebuild.
Yeah, exactly. Russ, contrary to what people think, he does want to win.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll put it to you like this. If OKC wouldn't have lost how they lost, number one, and if OKC would have made it to the second round, I don't think they trade PG.
Mm.
I think that PG trade, because the OKC didn't have to do it. But I think that they did it because, think about it, Russ is a true superstar in the league, right? Because by himself, he proved we can make the playoffs. We ain't gonna win no damn championship, but I get you to the postseason.
Right, yeah.
When you add a PG, that's supposed to elevate you, and it didn't for two straight years. First round exits both years. Year one, I get it, trying to get everything acclimated, plus Carmelo. Right, the baggage.
Mm.
Cool. Next year, PG has MVP caliber season. You know, Russ kind of gave him the reins. PG got a little hurt. Russ says, okay, cool, I'll put back on my cape. Then they get to the playoffs, right? Russ, and as much as I like this, and I think, who says it? Is it, I want to say Steven Jackson. No, Matt Barnes says it. And I agree with it. It says the things that make Russ great are the things that hurt him. And he takes it too personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And he can get out-dueled. We saw Dame do it. We saw Dame outplay Russell Westbrook. You know what I'm saying? So if I'm saying Presti, I'm sitting here back-to-back, okay, cool, we didn't give up that much to get PG, this, that, and the third. We haven't got past the first round. What are we doing? First of all, we're cap-strapped.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make moves. We're not going to have high draft picks. Fuck it. Let's go get 5 unprotected draft picks from the Clippers. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it's going to... So, Russ going to Miami is going to be counterintuitive for OKC because they own 2 of Miami's unprotected picks.
Mm.
So, you don't want to make Miami better because you want them to be ass so that we get higher draft picks from them. Obviously, but you still want to do Russ a solid. If he wants to go there, then you got to try to figure it out. But to me, from OKC standpoint, I send them to the Pistons. I would send them to the Pistons. Let Miami be ass with Jimmy Butler. Because think about it. Miami is only going to be marginally better. They're going to be an 8-7 seed with Jimmy. That's it. You add Russ there, you're talking about 6-5-4, possibly 3, depending on injuries, right, to other teams. But all that being said, man, if they can get another 2, maybe 3 draft picks for Russ, shit. Bye-bye, Russ. Love you. Thank you for all 11 years, but...
And I think Russ will be gone before the season starts.
Oh, yeah. You can't go into the season with him on the roster.
He'll be gone before the season starts.
Just like when I said about AD. You know, I'm like, bro, there's no way that we go into the season and AD still. There's no way. There's no way. There's no way. There's no way. It's just certain things that don't make sense.
And maybe OKC wanted to avoid that. Avoid Paul George, you know, causing a stinker. So I think.
But he's under contract for 2+1.
I know. Where with them?
Well, OKC.
Yeah. But at the same time, I think the deal just got to a point where they just couldn't turn it down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it came down to.
Yeah. Shit, who the fuck gives up 5 unprotected first round picks?
And then on top of that, these dudes only, like you said, he's on 2+1, and so is Kawhi.
Mm hmm.
So what happens if, like, you never know, injuries?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if this whole thing don't work out or you don't even win?
Yep.
You know, that could easily happen. The basketball is unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
So you just gave up your whole future. You got to take that gamble.
Yeah, you do.
But
you do. Okay, so look at it from this perspective. We gave up 5 draft picks for Kawhi and PG.
Yep. True.
You know what I'm saying? So
true.
When you look at it from getting those 2 guys for 5 draft picks, go ahead and take all of them young.
I mean, that's a good framing. Like that'll make it a little bit easier to swallow.
Exactly. Because if you look at it just PG for 5 picks, you're like, God damn.
And because technically that's true because Kawhi wasn't coming without PG.
Without PG.
So that's just a fact.
Exactly. And you know, to me, at the end of the day, look at the window. Right, like you legit have a guaranteed 2-year window. Right, Zubac, I want to say he signed for 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Bev signed for 2 or 3 years. Lou Will, I don't know where he's at, but you got to keep Lou Will. Like that's your third big. That's your scoring point right there. Who the fuck else? Who did they just resign? Montrezl Harrell still on a rookie fucking deal. You know what I'm saying? I think next year they're gonna have to pay him. So I think they'll let him play this year, and then they'll probably let him walk because they're not gonna be able to afford him. But either way, like their window is really 2 to 3 years.
But isn't that most teams' window?
No. It depends, right? Like it depends on how young you are. Like Philly's window is bigger than that. Philly's window is bigger than 2 years. Think about it. They've been competing for the last 2 years. This is their 3rd year really competing for a championship.
So Golden State had, what, a 4 or 5 year?
Yep.
And that got extended when they got
KD.
Miami had 4 years.
Yep.
Cleveland had 4 years.
That's a little different.
I mean, LeBron had 4 years. Yeah. What I mean, but...
But yeah, it's hard to have more than a 3-year window. That's extremely difficult. That's extremely difficult. Because think about the majority of the teams that you name. Like, you either have to have multiple free agents that sign that are very high caliber, or you got to draft 1 or 2 guys that are very high caliber.
And Boston had 2. But the reason why I bring that up is because I'm looking at the contracts that have been signed. Mm-hmm. KD, Kyrie, they're 3 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi, Paul George.
Three.
LeBron's on a 3-year contract. Like, mm-hmm. everything is syncing up with, like, LeBron's mm-hmm. last year. AD, like, Kawhi could legit, after his contract is up with the Clippers, bounce and come to L.A. when LeBron leaves. Yep. Yeah. So, and if that happens... And then you playing with... Man.
So, imagine if Kawhi does win a championship with the Clippers...
Mm-hmm.
His contract's up. He goes to the Lakers. Obviously, if Kawhi wins, that means LeBron never won, right?
True.
Comes to the Lakers and then wins. Bro, you talking about this motherfucker being the best guy on four championship squads? You talking about the Clippers, the Raptors, the Spurs, and now possibly the Lakers?
Are we? Okay, right. So that all could very, very well happen, especially with Paul George there.
Mm-hmm.
But are we overhyping and overselling Kawhi as a winner? Let's look at his championships, though.
Okay.
With the Spurs, we know he went 1-1,
mm-hmm.
And his free throw cost them that game.
But it was more Ray Allen than
Kawhi. But he and Manu missed free throws that would have sealed it.
And Tim Duncan missed like an offensive putback. Like,
he wasn't. He did. He did the bunny they were calling it at the time. But he was on a championship team. He wasn't a focal point. His second one in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
We all know if KD's healthy, that's a whole different situation.
True, but when we're starting to examine and analyze and putting that overrated tag, that means that they didn't perform at a certain level, right? Like, we hold them at a certain esteem, and they didn't meet that expectation.
I'm not saying he's overrated. I'm just saying that we're people are giving him a lot of credit that he deserved, but he was in good situations.
But here's the thing, though, and I want to say this was Steven Jackson that said this, and I agree with him. The basketball gods have to smile on you to win a championship.
That's a fact.
Because let's be honest, and I know the Golden State lovers, they'll say differently, but if Kyrie didn't get – fuck a Kevin Love. If Kyrie didn't get hurt, Golden State would have won that first one.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? And then, come on. Like, every championship team – or even teams that make the championship round, something had to happen along the way that was in your favor. You know what I'm saying? At least one thing. So for Kawhi, like, what went in his favor, right? Like, the shot against Philly and then getting hurt.
Right.
That, two things, and one was really major, one was just skill. One was just kind of fake.
And, you know, I mean, and Golden, it goes back to what you were saying. Golden State, they did perform, but their run was, they took advantage of injuries to key players on other teams.
And look, we call Golden State a dynasty, and they took advantage of injuries to key players on other teams. And did we discount their championships? Nah. We say,
I'm not discounting his championships. I'm just wondering if we're you faced a wounded team,
mm-hmm.
like they lost Klay too eventually.
Mm-hmm.
When he goes to the Clippers and Paul George comes along, everybody's like, oh man, title contenders. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, I don't know just yet if they are, because I haven't seen him go against a fully healthy team. Even Philly was wounded. Embiid was
He was
hurt for about three games. Sick for about three games.
But you know what though, man? Like, Jordan is iconic for the flu game. So I don't want to hear that. Like, in a regular season, take your time off, you have a good game. All right, cool. We got another, however many.
What center performed at a high level when they were sick? It's probably a little bit easier for guards. And Jordan was probably in better shape than Embiid. I'm not making excuses because they still took him seven. It could have been a different series if he was healthier than he was.
And I don't want to call Embiid a liar. If you say you hurt, you hurt, you're sick or this, that, and the third. I just, as a basketball player, like, I've played sick before. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't necessarily my best game, but There's other things that Embiid can do because his skill set says he can do it that he should have done to make sure that they would have won the series, because he was the one guy that there was no true matchup for. Okay, yeah, you got Marc Gasol, big body, but Marc isn't the same Marc Gasol of Memphis.
So Philly won 6, lost 7, right? Because they were down 3-2.
Yep.
But the 6 and 7, we know, was a lucky shot, or not a lucky shot, but part luck, part skill.
Yeah, it was luck, part skill. Yeah, it was luck and skill.
Yeah,
that was like Jay-Z said, when you play with skill, good luck will happen.
Yeah,
like, that's exactly what happened.
But as Embiid got healthier, you could see them compete a little bit more. But nevertheless, again, like Steven Jackson said, I think it applies. I just don't want to. Kawhi hasn't proven himself to be LeBron yet.
Or that's unfair.
KD.
Okay, so this is why he gets the two-way tag. Is
two-way player, yes, okay, but
because LeBron is the type of player that elevates, like LeBron.
Kawhi doesn't elevate everybody.
Is this his game? His game. Why can't nobody be like Magic? LeBron is the closest thing to Magic that we mm-hmm. see, right? Like, it's just your play style. LeBron's play style is to get everybody involved, and because he's so physically gifted and right. dominant, when I need to, there's nothing you can do about me, and then I got everybody else going, so what you gonna do now, right? When you look at KD, 7-foot shooting guard with handle and just a tremendous IQ, what are you gonna do? Like, he's just the ultimate scoring option.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi is a little bit of everything. Like, think about it. He's really great at a lot of things, but not outside of maybe clutch factor. What is he exceptional at? Defense. I give him the mm-hmm. defense. But offensively, what is he exceptional? Like, he's not an exceptional three-point shooter. He's not an exceptional mid-range guy. He knows how to get to his mm-hmm. He's like Tim Duncan. Like, what was Tim Duncan exceptional at? Fundamentals. You look at Kawhi, he's just a guard version of Tim Duncan. And we give Tim Duncan all this praise.
Yeah, but Tim Duncan was unstoppable. You can stop Kawhi. But I don't think Kawhi is unstoppable yet.
But can you say that after this playoff run that we've seen? Now, I think that if he does it back-to-back, like if they win a championship next year, or even if they don't win a championship but they get far in the playoffs, Kawhi has the same run he had this year, then you can.
Then I'm ready to concede. Yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah.
I feel you.
It's just now, I mean, you know, you obviously know how I feel about Kawhi, and it's not me shitting on Kawhi, but it's just like everybody's ready to elevate him in the top tier, and I'm just saying context kind of matters. Like, Steph Curry was unstoppable even if they would have lost that first title. Like, you mm-hmm. could see that there's nothing you could do with them. You could see mm-hmm. there was nothing you could do with they could mm-hmm. do with Klay. You could see special on that team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Kawhi, I think he had a great run. It was magical.
I don't know, man. I feel like you're marginalizing him a little bit.
I don't know, man.
Because
he had a special run, but
because what you're trying to quantify is impact, right? And the guys that you mm-hmm. just named, pretty boy from Golden State, Steph,
and
LeBron,
Klay.
KD, right?
Yeah.
Where do they primarily impact the game? Offense.
Offense scoring, yeah.
Kawhi primarily impacts the game defensively with timely shots. He don't dominate the game offensively most nights, right? Like, can he?
He went, I don't want to say he went in reverse, but he kind of did go in reverse, right? Where
how you doing?
Where his whole thing was defense. Hey, how you doing? Defense turned into offense is what Kawhi did. He kind of went backwards. He became an offensive weapon. I'm not trying to marginalize the brother. I don't want to feel that. Ah, man, I don't know, man. I just don't. He's not. He'll probably go down as a Hall of Famer. Yes,
of course.
He just doesn't come across as unstoppable to me yet. Like Paul George, when he's you be like, okay, yeah, you ain't doing anything with that. When Paul George was healthy?
Yeah, but again, you're looking at it from an offensive standpoint. With the Stephs, LeBron, KD, Paul George do offensively, Kawhi does defensively score.
What's up, man?
That's where Kawhi dominates a game.
Like I was saying earlier, he turned himself into an offensive player.
Right.
To assist the defense.
Mm-hmm. And that's why his label is two-way player. Because he's good enough offensively where he's going to get you 20 easy. Mm-hmm. And some nights, if he has to, he'll get you 35-40. He can do that. It's not natural to him.
I think he's self-aware to know he can't carry the load by himself. 100%. That's why he went when he got Paul George.
100%. Not on the offensive.
Right.
I can't give you. He's not Melo. When Melo had the break. He's not that guy. And he knows that. He's like, look, bro, I'm going to give you 20-25. I can do that. And I can get to my spots and I can do that. You need me to be MJ? You need me to be Brown? I can't do that. But you need me to lock this guy up. You need me to lock that guy. I can do that. He'll dominate the game defensively. Yes. But offensively, it's not. So if you're trying to compare Kawhi's offense to these other great players' offense, hell no. There's a whole bunch of guys I put in front of Kawhi. But then when you add what he does defensively, to what he can do offensively, then that puts him
past. And him signing to a team elevates them automatically to title contender. Say, for instance, Paul George wasn't there. Are we looking at the Clippers as a title contender?
Yes, but not the favorite. Not the favorite. They would have been bunched in with everybody else.
I would say playoff team, not title contender.
But the West is... Outside of the Lakers and Portland, who else is better than them in the West?
I mean, we looked at Houston.
Maybe Houston. But Houston's a one-man band. If you say Kawhi, make sure James don't get past 25 tonight. You don't think Kawhi can do that?
No.
Whoa.
No.
Whoa.
No, I don't. As much as I criticize James Harden, man, he gonna get his points on Kawhi. He gonna wear Kawhi ass out.
No.
Yes. You know why I know that's some bullshit, Ken? Because, and here's the thing. These top-tier scorers, sometimes getting for them to get 30 is still a win for the defense because they probably took 32 shots to get that 30.
And James Harden probably would do that.
But did you see the game? And I vividly remember this because it was Rochelle's homegirl's birthday, Fantasia. We went to the Cibus in Midtown. Mm-hmm. And it was when OKC and Houston was playing. Yes. And PG was putting the clanks on James Harden. James Harden still had 28, 30s. It was part of the 30-point streak. He still scored 30-plus. But that shit was hard, bro. That was really hard. And I think that's what Kawhi does. And Kawhi is a step and a half above PG in terms of a defender. So I'm not saying that he's going to shut down James Harden to the point where James Harden is going to get like 20, 22. But even if James Harden gets 30 plus, he's going to shoot.
It's going to be a difficult. Time. Okay, yeah. I would concede that.
Like
you're going to earn it.
Exactly. Yeah. You're going to earn this 30. Like, James Harden mentally has to say, I'm going to go get 30. And he's just going to have to do it. But by him doing that, it disrupts everything else. And that's the value in Kawhi. And that's why I say, even without PG, like, outside of – because Portland just has too much now. Outside of the Lakers, they just got too much. Houston would be the next team, right, that I would say is in that ballpark of a contender, right? But if they just – if the Clippers just had Kawhi – they can beat Houston.
And I was going to say, I would put the Clippers over Houston because of their flaws offensively in the playoffs.
You know?
So that would put them, what, third?
Third or fourth Kawhi. Now you add PG to that shit. It's them and the Lakers in the West.
That's for...
You know, and PG can handle that offensive load. Hey, bro, go to your 30, your 40. I'll get my 18, 20. I'm gonna go lock down this guy. You lock down that guy. Hey, Pat Bear, who you got? Yeah, like it's. I'm telling you, man, that team, the way that they're constructed, is going to be crazy. And here's the thing, they got the coach in, bro. So
he ain't on the court though.
But you know what?
He done his job.
But I don't think his job is done.
Okay.
I think he might still swing a trade or two. Might get an asset or two, might get a second round pick that, you know, we might marginalize it in the moment.
You're right, because he's going to have to replace some of those assets they gave up, and some of those guys have to be gone. So he's going to catch somebody slipping. Somebody going to be desperate, and he's going to catch them slipping. He's going to get one of those five picks back.
Watch him get like Reggie Jackson. But if Detroit go ahead and get Russell Westbrook.
You can share
my information. I'm pretty sure Reggie don't want to be up under that whole thing again, right? Pistons might buy him out. They might do something. You know what I'm saying? Those are the type of moves. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't know what's going to happen with Gorin. Because if OKC picks him up, why are they going to want Gorin? They're going to want to be as bad as possible. And also, they're going to want Gilgeous Alexander to get as much
money as possible. Yeah, so, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's going to be a guy or two, maybe, that is currently overrated or maybe underrated, that I think that the GOAT GM will do some things. And all of a sudden, it's like, damn, but you got him too. Because they need a backup point guard now. Mm-hmm. And I have another point guard. You don't.
Yeah, that's right.
But, man, I'm just think about it, Ken. Let's say you take PG out. You know, and we already know how Doc is with rotations and system and style. Like, just tell me, like, where do you have a lapse? Because you take PG out, you put Lou in. What changes? Size. But that's it.
That defense.
That little bit. You took out Kawhi. You take Kawhi out. Boom. You put PG back in.
Because we'll see a lot of load management.
You know what? I think you're going to see a lot of what D'Antoni did with Houston, where you're not going to see PG and Kawhi play a lot together until the fourth quarter when it's money time.
I just think that, yes, adding Paul George and Kawhi is huge, and it significantly changes that team. But I think people could be falling into the Boston Celtics trap.
Nah, where, this is different.
Somewhat. Because everybody had them in the finals because they got to the Eastern Conference Finals the year before.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like people are making that same argument. Man, they took Golden State to six games. That was a fluke.
Difference. So let me break it down, right?
Okay.
Because you know how we be talking about windows, championship windows. We also got to look at age of players.
Oh, word.
Right? And Boston's young core, right, is all between 19 and 21.
Okay.
Jalen, Jason, Terry. Well, Terry's like 22, 23 now, but still. Early 20s. Shit, who else they had that was just dumb? They got another guy. I can't think of. But those three main guys, right? The core of what got them to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right.
Then you add Al Horford. He my age. You add Kyrie, he's closer to 30 than 20.
Mm-hmm.
You add Gordon Hayward, closer to 30 than 20.
Coming off an injury.
Coming off an injury. You're looking at all it. Right, Marcus Smart is getting older. But Marcus Smart is a good guy. It don't matter. Right? Like it doesn't matter. But you look at young core, old core. There's a disconnect there. And then they didn't have a guy like a LeBron or maybe even a Kawhi or somebody that can bridge that gap to get everybody on the same page. That's the reason why Boston had a problem. It wasn't a talent thing, and it wasn't even a coaching thing. It was a disconnect thing. Their perspectives on how to approach championship-level basketball was completely different. And Kyrie isn't the type of leader to bring you along. He was trying to tell you. You know what I'm saying? And then his play didn't always
that's what I'm saying.
Exemplify leadership. Right, like if you follow LeBron in the way he plays, well, shit, we do not follow LeBron. He's leading by example. He does everything we need to do. And he's humane. He's not going to make every fucking play. He's going to take some play. We know that. But he can lead by example. Kyrie can't do that. When you look at the Clippers,
is there anything to do?
Who's the young player there? Zubac. Motherfucker, go get some rebound, bro.
Ball and hold. That's his thing. That's grab it. ball
That's
and
it.
Hold.
You know what I'm saying? You look at Beverly. Journeyman had to earn everything to get where he's at.
Got it out the mud.
What's he going to say? Nothing. PG, right? We know PG as a talent because when he started to emerge in Indiana, he's the only guy I've seen LeBron give that to during the playoff, bro. To this day, that's the only guy I've seen. Right? So we already know. And he's closer to 30. Mm-hmm. Kawhi, closer to 30. Lou Will, closer to 30. Everybody, Montrez is young, but go put the ball in the hole, bro. You're not a skilled player. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody else is either had to work extremely hard to get there, or they're already closer to 30. They're ready to win. So that's the reason why I think that this roster, from an age perspective, and also from getting on the same page to get that one goal accomplished, they're going to be more on the same page.
Blue collar versus privilege.
And as much as I love Brad Stevens, Doc is proven. Stevens is still proving himself. You know what I'm saying? So what Doc may say to somebody doesn't hold the same weight as coming from Brad Stevens. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and then let's be honest, ownership. Just better. Like the owner. You know, I don't even know who owns the Boston. Ballmer, most money. You already tell. Like, as soon as he got there, everything started changing. You know what I'm saying? And then just think about how many organizations, you know, like Ballmer came in, hired Doc to run everything. VP, GM, head coach, all of this. How many organizations you know, they would have went through everything with Doc and then got rid of Doc.
The only thing you're mad about down here.
How many organizations come besides that to be like, hey, Doc,
a lot.
Just going to be the head coach. You still going to have a word, but you're just the head coach.
I think that's the only thing.
You know Doc has a big ass ego.
You have to have
a big ass ego for you to take Boston and win a championship your first year and go through the ringer of Orlando. Remember, he was an Orlando Magic coach when it was supposed to be T-Mac and Grant Hill. So he's almost gotten it out the way. Think about it. He wasn't real high. Was he a first round pick? Yeah, he was a first round pick with Atlanta. But like, it wasn't like Doc was a star. Like, he had to earn it. And then for him to get all of that control, then it get usurped, and then you bring in GoGM and then all these and it still works. Bro, like I just think that the Clippers are ready to become more relevant. Just overall, from the owner to the head coach to their two-star players to everybody that's on that roster, where the Celtics didn't have that. The young Celtics felt entitled to get the minutes, to get the responsibility, and Kyrie and the older ones were saying, you didn't earn it yet. Well, what do you mean we didn't earn it? Well, we Eastern Conference Finals without y'all. That's where that tension came from. I don't think the Clippers have that same amount of tension.
Just play their game. Valid points, indeed. But I just still somewhat feel the analysis somewhat off. And maybe it's the recency of the moment.
It does.
Maybe it's seeing Paul George couldn't beat LeBron. Kawhi has. So maybe this is Paul George version of Kevin Durant. I don't know. You know, and I mean, Doc Rivers is beating LeBron in the playoffs. So I think there's that, but I don't know, man. I'm just tempering my expectations.
No, I feel you. And I also agree with what Stephen A said. I think if you look at dynamic duo, AD Brown, give me AD Brown over Kawhi.
That's been the other thing that I've been looking at.
However, yeah, I completely the that. Rest of those pieces are more telling Kawhi and PG than AD Brown. Like Kawhi and PG with the Clippers feels... it's gonna work more. Like it's gonna be a smoother transition. It's just like when Golden State got KD. Even when they got Boogie, it was just like okay, plug him in. It's cool. And we've seen this before with LeBron, right? And adding another superstar team and getting brand new. Everybody gotta adjust to Bron. You know what I'm saying? Because it's always been Bron-centric. So everybody's game has to adjust, even though they got a whole bunch of catching shooters. And AD is the most, you know, skillful big that Bron has ever played with. Right? Because Chris Bosh couldn't come down, boom, boom, crossover pull-up. But, no, that wasn't Kevin. Definitely not. You know what I'm saying? Shit, what other skillful? Ain't nobody else doing that. I'll put you like this.
He's never played with a guy like AD.
They're playing with a guy like Boogie. Because even Boogie now is more skillful than those two guys were. So I don't know what that looks like. I don't like and just think about how like when D Wade and Bron first got together and they were kind of like, okay, it's your turn.
But it was different because that was Wade's team.
That's true.
They're not coming to this is not anybody's team but LeBron's.
Okay. So what if AD's like, here you go, Bron?
AD is somewhat
and he's passing.
Yes.
So
he fits. Boogie may not.
No. But the thing is that your second player, you shouldn't have to charge up, right? Like I just and obviously the numbers speak for
themselves. That's a fun group.
I'm just saying AD will fall in line. Wade didn't have to fall in line because he won a title without him, so he was already the top dog.
That's true, but
and an alpha. AD comes across as a beta, not an alpha. But he'll fall in line with LeBron. But I think LeBron's teaching him that though.
But I think for LeBron, a LeBron-led team to win, there has to be two alphas on the squad. Because you could have got rid of KD. LeBron and Kyrie could win you championships.
I'm having to start
the
game and
you know what I'm saying? And I just don't know where AD is
mentality.
His mentality closing clutch. Right now. Like he's never been put in these positions.
Maybe he is.
Maybe.
He might be LeBron. Remember, LeBron had to develop that skill set. That mental skill set.
That's what gives me a little bit of pause in terms of how seamless the Lakers should be, because I still have question marks about AD. You know, in terms of big game situations, not the talent. Come on, this motherfucker's the top five talent. He's there, but.
I'm with you there. And I think that's why. That's where I think LeBron will help elevate him to that, because it's clear as day that LeBron is prepping him to be the guy.
Of course,
you know,
just like he was prepping Kyrie.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, though, right? Like Kyrie ain't win shit before LeBron went back, right? But I knew. I don't know how many other people knew, but I knew that, like, Kyrie wasn't scared in the moment.
No.
Like, Kyrie wanted this thing. He didn't have the leadership. He didn't have the physical ability to elevate everybody, to get you to the promised land. But Kyrie's the guy that's like, hey, bro, we need one shot. Okay, here's the Kyrie, we forgot the way. Is AD. We know Bron is not that.
Mm-hmm.
Bron is, I'm going to make the right play.
Right.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to do, you know, y'all going to criticize me, but I'm going to do what I think is right. AD needs to be the guy. Can't nobody guard me. Give me the damn ball. We're going to win this game. Bron don't have nobody on like that on the squad. And I just, that's what I have to question.
Okay, so who's like that? The advantage that I give the Clippers over the Lakers is what we discussed earlier, defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I still like the Lakers roster more. But that defense, them dogs they have over there, I think gives them a significant advantage, especially at LeBron's compromised age. Yep. Level.
Yep.
That's it. Yep. But that's where all the other guys should come in and step up. Mm-hmm. Kuz got that mentality.
Kuz has alpha mentality without an alpha skill set.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
And
think about it. He's gonna have to fall in line, bro. Like he makes.
He just happy he's still on the Lakers.
He is.
So I think he'll fall in
LA lifestyle.
Yeah.
However, bro, it's like, you know, think about it. Like, where does Boogie think his pecking order is?
I think he's just trying to get back to that big money. So I think he'll be okay with falling in line. I think he really learned a lot in Golden State.
I think that he would have got a bigger payday if he didn't get the torn quad.
Yep, I completely agree.
I don't know if he would have got max money, but he would have got 10, 15.
Because look at Boogie. He's been fine since he left Sacramento and went to a winning organization. He hasn't caused any problem. But who has that mentality on the Clippers? Lou Will, I know he has it. Kawhi was forced to have it. Paul George has it with little success.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
But I think that Kawhi has proven he has that killer mentality. That stretch that he went on, right?
Okay,
We gave Nick Nurse a lot of flack for calling that timeout. Kawhi was trying to put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, he got that killer in him.
He has
Silent Assassin.
He has it.
I take that back.
So that's why I'm not worried about the Clippers. And we've seen PG go through that too. You know, I think in more recent times we've seen Kawhi. You know,
but again, is that because he had to do it? Or is that because that's who he is? He was the only guy on that team.
Yeah.
Who else was going to do it?
No, I think that it's part of him as a basketball player, but you'll never know that of him based off of the person he is. The basketball player version of Kawhi, yes. Look, man, when AI walked into a room, when Jordan Kobe walked into the room, just get him in the ball. I don't know what he does, right? Like, you ain't got to see him play.
Mm-hmm.
His personal, like how they come into, how they just command that attention. Even Bron, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi, you don't get that one.
Right.
Funny laugh and shit.
Yeah.
You know, but when he gets on that court, that's a different motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And you can just tell, man. I think he has it. I don't want to say that he always had it. So I think that San Antonio had to cultivate it a little bit. They had to bring it out of him because I definitely think he was somebody that was always in his shell. I think San Antonio was a perfect incubator for him because they didn't need that from him right away. He saw the right way to do it, right? And then now when he got his own team, it was like, okay, I don't have a pop system. I don't have the three Hall of Famers to hold me back. Like, it's on me. We gonna win. It's on me. And I think that he rose up to that challenge. You know, and I think he proved to people like you that I am the guy. And then even think about the off-season moves. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Kawhi is the guy. I think that him and PG and the Clippers are going to – it's going to look seamless. I'm telling you, they're going to go out there. I think – I'll put it to you like this. I'm going to say that they're going to have the best record in the NBA. And I think that the first month of the season – It's gonna look so unfair. I think the first month of the season is gonna look unfair. People gonna be like, "Oh shit! Like, who the hell? Who allowed this shit?"
Oh yeah, yeah.
The Clippers are gonna be a problem.
Wait, he's still answered?
They're gonna be a major problem.
Oh no,
I can answer the problem. What's good? Are we setting off your watch?
I know you high on the Lakers, bro.
But Josh left the mic.
I'm not as high as I'm high when I compare the two. I just like their recovery.
Yes,
that was a good recovery because I was worried.
Kawhi was playing. Their plan B, they execute.
Yeah,
they execute. This is the best they could have made their team given the circumstances.
Yeah, because I'm definitely concerned about their defense. I am concerned about their defense.
Yes, because the only two guys you really have that are defensive guys, Bradley and AD, and then Avery Bradley really has been the last two.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the good thing about Avery's still like between 26 and 28 though. Mm-hmm. So he's still physically supposed to be in his prime. I know he's been battling injuries and shit like that, but you know, that's where I'm worried. Troy Daniels.
So what are we talking about?
Rondo ain't the same Rondo.
I need to know
who they gonna stop, and then do they have
right?
Which I think they have the end of shooting team, but.
Did you?
It ain't Clay in the corner. Yeah, so they got shooters, but they don't have the money. That's like,
yeah.
I don't care what LeBron doing.
Right.
The other guy, I come off of Danny Green.
Yeah.
I come off of Troy Daniels. They don't have a guy that you have to stay with that genuinely creates that space. Right? Because if I'm a coach, I don't care what other shooters you got out there. I'm helping LeBron. Until he makes two or three in a row, help off of him.
Wow.
Let me see what Danny Green was in the playoffs. He looked like Mike Miller out there.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it. We need to try to figure out how to, Kyle Korver gets on his buyout.
All right.
Gotta get Kyle Korver. They gotta get that.
He don't show up in the playoffs either.
Oh, no. I'm...
So
my thing.
All right,
I do that.